You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hey everyone, it's Joe Batant, and I'm here with a short announcement. Some of you may have noticed last week that there was a problem in that All-Star 6 Episode 4 said that it was a subscription-only episode, and I'm actually very worried. I hope you guys came back. Well, if you heard this, you did. If you're hearing this, that is not the case. And in fact, effective immediately, I've canceled the Apple subscription program simply because it's very clunky. It is not ready for prime time yet. Say what you will about Patreon, it works. You know, I have a lot of problems with Patreon, and there are problems with Patreon, but it works. And the Apple, I did everything correctly, and it said the show was subscription only. So that's why this has a weird title, is so that the Apple bot doesn't think it's a subscription show. So from here on out, if there ever is a problem, this show will never, ever be subscription only. So thank God some people messaged me, and we were able to fix it. But I didn't know. And so if there's ever a problem, feel free to email me at dragracerecap@afterthought.media when there's ever any problem whatsoever. And, with the downloads or the feed or anything. But here it is. I just wanted to put this announcement. You're going to hear a beep, but that's because I removed, pushing the Apple subscription podcast, but I'm just taking it out of the episode. So that's what that beep is. That missing information is the Apple subscription plug. Other than that, enjoy the show. Subscription free. Thanks. Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for All-Star Season 6, Episode 5, titled Pink Table Talk. My name's Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by two conspiratorial hosts. First, from Bloody Podcast, please say...
Yeah, you big nasty fat...
Oh my God!
To Lori Roggenkamp... Hello, Lori Roggenkamp.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Let me tell you, we call those little clips Clip Zero, and usually the past this season, I have been struggling to find them. This week, I had about 10 at my disposal, and I had to settle on 2. It was the toughest choice was settling on 2. There were so many to choose from this week.
I'm so sorry.
Sophie's choice.
Lori Roggenkamp, welcome.
Because the other two you sent to be killed by the Nazis, right? That's why.
I sure did. Mm-hmm. And they said choose one, and I said take them both. You know. And so Lori Roggenkamp, welcome. So happy to see you.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be in a nice, cool room. It's not outside in the beach.
Lori just came from camping. The only thing she didn't take with her for a 24-hour camping trip was her actual house.
Yes. And pillows. I didn't take pillows.
Pillows. That's right.
Yeah, that was a real kick in the nuts.
Speaking of,
we didn't have pillows.
Speaking of, he's a real kick in the nut. From show business, please say...
You got some big-ass bones, bitch.
To Adam... Salandra, hello, Adam. That's what the doctor said when you came in.
It's literally a double ball joke just coming at me.
Yeah.
And that is what he said in that accent.
Adam Salandra.
Also, hello.
From show business, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me yet again.
I'm surprised you were here. I don't know if you were going to be here or not because you just had a bachelor party. And we heard all the dirty details of... And like, if you follow Adam Salandra on Instagram or on social media anywhere, you saw him do crazy things like jump on a bed.
And, I got wild, I will say.
And to be hanging out a bunch of Britney Spears impersonators or something.
Very true.
Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy night. And you can get all the details on a show called Just Between Us Girls. Also, I wanted to mention the next episode for All Stars Episode 6, okay? If you've always wanted to hear the show live, we are taking part in a very special event called Pride 48, where they put on 48 hours of gay podcasts live. And we are going to be on the opening night, Friday, what is the week from today? The 23rd. Friday, July 23rd. We are going to be on Pride 48 at pride48.com. You can also listen on TuneIn Radio on the Pride 48 channel. We will be on live covering All Stars Season 6, Episode 6 at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. You're going to hear the live show. You're going to hear me. You're going to hear Lori. You're going to hear Adam. Well, not Salandra. A different Adam, because Salandra, what's going on with you? Why aren't you going to be there?
8 p.m. past my bedtime, baby.
Yeah. No, it's your birthday weekend, right?
Yes.
Oh, I think we just found out the real reason.
What is the real reason?
By accident. He just doesn't want to stay up till 8 p.m.
8 p.m., he's taking his disco nap before he goes out to Rough Trade or whatever gay bar he's going to. Is that a gay bar named Rough Trade? If it isn't, I'm claiming it right now. Go ahead. What were you saying?
You should open it. But yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You should do it, and then you should just – it should just be you naming whoever's trade. And just, and then, you know, that's why, because at the end of it, it's rough, you know?
Wow, Laura, I can't tell you're tired. You hear me? Lori said,
I'm glad it's working. I'm glad that it's,
Lori said, I'm really tired. I may not talk that much. I'm like, no, you're going to find your second wind.
And what a wind it is.
What a wind it is. But now, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. Now she's going to make me pay, and she's going to go on these super long speeches about Jan, or I don't know what, and who knows.
Oh, this Jan.
Oh. I called Salandra before the show, and I couldn't help myself. I was like, this Jan, I'm going to tell you, she's going to get it today.
Guys. She
is, yeah.
I think I like Jan.
What did you say?
I think I like Jan.
Wait, but it started this episode, because you've hated her.
I think this episode turned me. I don't know if it was just the fact that I'm tired.
How would one watch this episode? We'll get into it. All right,
we'll get into it.
All right, here we go. This week, the girls work in groups to create a drag version of the show Red Table Talk. Team Sex comes out on top, but it's Ginger Minj from Team Body who emerges as the winner. Meanwhile, Kylie, Sonique, Love, Jan, and Scarlet Envy are placed in the bottom three. Back on the main stage, Bianca Del Rio fakes everyone out before Mayhem Miller walks out to duke it out with Ginger Minj in a lip-sync battle for their legacy. In the end, Ginger wins a lip-sync and the right to read the name on her chosen lipstick, Ginger Minj. After some dramatic explanation, showed her lipstick and read the name, Scarlet Envy. Ladies, name two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not. Let's start with the person. He is the ambassador of show business. Give it up for the one and only Adam Salandra. What are two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not?
Okay, number one, I've every episode really talked about, I think Akira is talented, but I just don't, like, she doesn't stick in my mind. Something about her this episode, both as a boy in the workroom and confessionals and in the challenge, I was very into Akira C. Davenport.
Sure.
I like that. Number two, Ginger Minj in that little lip sync was just delightful.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two things I like. Oh, what I didn't like, I was a little confused by the judging. We'll get into it, but particularly I thought the right group won. So why was Ginger Minj the actual winner? I would like to know.
That's a very good point, and I have a conspiracy theory, but go ahead.
I need one because I don't get it. And I also, at the time, though, after watching and hearing the other contestants maybe get it more, I didn't really get why Jan was in the bottom, to be honest.
That part I don't go with you so much, because I actually feel, and I'm not the biggest Kylie Sonique love fan, I feel that way about Kylie Sonique. I don't really understand why she was in the bottom.
I can get that too. I think I would say Pandora over perhaps either of them.
Yes, Pandora. And also, I'm not totally, I could be sold, but I'm not entirely sold on why Scarlet Envy was in the bottom.
That I did get, and
Scarlet, I got Scarlet, I got Sonique. I agree with you on Pandora.
We'll discuss it when it gets there, but I see what you're saying in the performance, right? But what I'm saying is, you're doing it as a purely points thing. Scarlet Envy's look was pretty awesome. So you're thinking, does it save her from being in the bottom? I don't know.
I think that runway never counts unless they need it to count to fit the narrative that they're trying to do.
That could be the case. That could be 100% the case. All right. Well, Lori, what about you? What are two things about the episode and one thing you did not?
Two things I liked about the episode. This will be a contradictory statement. You'll see soon. But I liked the challenge. I liked the queens, how they did the challenge. I thought it was very fun. And it was fun to see the girls just sort of talk in drag and see how their characters sort of were portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I liked was the lip sync. I thought Ginger Minge did a really good job. There was a part in the lip sync where she's sort of like, hobbling, and I just laughed out loud. Like, I was like, oh, that's the funniest thing I've seen in a while. Mm-hmm. What I didn't like was the judging. I felt like it was emotional blackmail. I felt like the judges were basically saying, you did not emotionally open up more. And so that's why we're doxing you. And I didn't like that. I don't like it when you put something on these queens are, first off, these are drag queens who are putting on a performance, right? And you're judging their performance. You're not judging their, person's vulnerability. And I think that that's a little shitty. Cause would you expect Michelle Visage and RuPaul to do that? They wouldn't do that challenge. So I think that's a little bit, I thought that was bullshit. And I'm starting to like Jan, so.
I can't wait to get into that.
Yeah. Laura, you said docs. Did you mean they dock them? Because docs is a term for meaning like you expose their like personal information.
Oh, I meant doc. Yeah.
Oh, okay. For myself, I actually thought, even though I have complaints about one or two of the table talks and whatnot, I thought as a whole, most of them were pretty good. Even my lowest one got a C-. None of them were D or F. It kind of reminds me of an acting challenge a few episodes ago where I said, I don't really have anything bad to say because on the whole, they're better on most than most drag race challenges like that. So I would say, go ahead, Adam.
Sorry to interrupt, but it's interesting that all these queens are from their season for the most part, middle of the road or worse, mm-hmm. but every week there's never any, like everyone does at least pretty good.
Yeah. Everyone does at least pretty good. And so I commend them on that. Next, I really like this lip sync. I thought both.
I said the same thing.
She did.
Well, I only do a show with one other person named Adam Salandra. I don't know who you are. Here's a person just showed up here. But the lip sync, was a very much a highlight of this episode. And it was actually, when it first came on, I was like, this is going to be a tough song to do. But I actually feel both queens sold it. I was thinking it would be tough because it's not a dancing high kicks, shabam kind of song. And they both managed to really sell that song. And I commend both of them. And the one thing I did not like, and it's going to make this episode sort of interesting, God, man, this Jan extra bugged the shit out, living shit out of me. Even though I do agree with Salandra, the judging is very, very suspect this week. It's always suspect this season, but
it certainly is.
Particularly suspect this episode. All right, well, let's move on. After Yara's elimination, Akira worries about her two bottom placements, and Jan stumbles over her words as she tries to explain why she pulled Akira's lipstick. The next day, the queens vote who among them is the fashion queen of the season. Meanwhile, the debate rages on whether Trinity is trade. Next, RuPaul entered the workroom to announce this week's maxi challenge. The queens working in groups will produce and host a chat show called Pink Table Talk. RuPaul shows them allows them, I'm sorry, to choose their own teams, and they break down as follows. There's one team, and you know, I'm going to spoil it, because then they choose their topics, and we'll get to it, but we might as well combine them. First, on team sex, I believe it is, it's Trinity K. Bonet, Eureka O'Hara, and Akiria C. Davenport. On team motherhood, it's Kylie Sonique Love, Raja O'Hara, and Scarlet Envy. And then finally, on team body, it's Ginger Minge, Jan, and Pandora Box. And that's how the teams broke down. Back in the workroom, Panda hates talking about her... Pandora hates talking about her body and worries about this challenge. Jan wants to show everyone that she can be real. Scarlett talks about her two moms. Raja worries about the topic because of her difficult relationship with her mother. Kylie Sonique Love takes on the job of moderator, and Eureka wants to talk about being fat, while Scarlett questions Kylie's ability to lead a conversation. Let's start with you, Lori Roggenkamp. I have some questions here and some talking points, but I don't know if you have anything to say about those segments before we get into those.
Well, my one thing is I didn't understand was Akiria picked sex for her group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was no conversation, nothing. Scarlett picked motherhood for her group because she has two moms. And Ginger Minge wanted motherhood, so then they had that Rochambeau. And so I would have been like, if I was in either one of those groups, if I didn't want to do motherhood, I would, like, if I was Raja, if I don't want to do, I'd be like, I don't want to do motherhood. Why is Scarlett picking for us? And that I didn't understand. So to me, it just made it seem very produced, which, you know, yes, we understand that the show is produced, but it's like, if you're going to give them the assignments, just give them the freaking assignments. Like, I would have loved to have seen more of the behind the scenes of them prepping for it than this bullshit. I'm going to pick this because I have two moms fake scenario that was going on.
I was very confused by that as well, because Akiria said what she wanted and Kylie just gave it to her. No one said a thing. And then Ginger and Scarlett were the spokespeople for their team, but they never said that was the thing. No consulting anyone else. But you think that it was like made up that they wanted each one in motherhood?
Oh yeah. I think that they probably did it beforehand, or they probably gave it to them. And then they said, you know, if whoever wins, you know, kind of fight over motherhood or fight over the topic you want or whatever. But I mean, or unless they gave Ginger Minge and Akiria and them the ability to pick, which they never told us they did.
Right. Exactly.
So it's like, 'cause honestly, if it was me and I was on the team, even if it was a topic that I wanted, I would be like, hey, why did you pick for us? Like, why didn't we have a conversation beforehand?
Well, let's finish this topic and then we'll go backwards and I'll rein it back in. But it's funny that you had that. First of all, I don't think it was fake. I think it was real. I got the sense it was real. But what I was saying was, unless there's something we didn't see, it's so funny. I had the same opinion but a different take on it. Unless there's something I didn't see, why didn't they just rearrange the teams based on what people wanted to talk about?
Yes.
Why didn't it be like, because Kylie was like, I don't really want to talk about motherhood. She was like, but she goes, I want to talk about my body. I'm like, okay, well then go to team body. And then Ginger was on team body, go over to team motherhood. And then you and Scarlett could be on at the same team. And Raja can go to another team and then they can go on the team. Like, I feel like, why was there a rule that we don't know about that they couldn't change? Because I could see if Rue made the teams, but Rue said, you guys choose the teams. And so they were like, oh, well, okay, whatever, you know. And then they just sort of assembled it. And then they got this thing. I'm like, well, why didn't they just move?
Also, like, if you're going to just – if somebody's just going to arbitrarily choose, I don't understand this whole, like, well, let's do a Rochambeau to find out who wins. If I was Scarlett, I would just grab the folder and been like, there. We're motherhood, like, that I've chosen for you. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why was Sonique the arbiter of who got to choose? Akiria asks Sonique, I want to do sex. And Akiria goes, well, you got to do what you're good at, and gives her the folders. Like, why was she the one who gives out the folders?
Adam, weigh in here before we move on to another topic.
Well, something was weird about it, but also, in case you didn't catch, the two gals who were fighting over motherhood, one got sent home. I don't think that it was fake personally. I think something weird was going on, but I think they each wanted motherhood, but it did end up playing out that way.
I want to go back to the beginning. First of all, let's talk about after the elimination. In what universe did Jan, she was genuinely shocked. In what universe did she think that they were all going to send Akira home? Yara Sophia, as much as we hated Yara Sophia going home, was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm giving up. I don't want to do this. Said it to Jan, said it to the girls in the room. Jan's not in another studio. She's 20 feet away. She can hear what's going on. How is she like, I am gobsmacked that they all
and went. not one other person picked her. So it's not even like she was like, oh, she was right for a few people.
No.
Literally, completely.
She's like, yes. She's so shocked. She's like, because she even, what's funny is she even dug her own grave in the previous episode. She goes like, I want to also go with what the group is thinking.
Yes.
And you're like, okay. Yeah. And then.
I was still
against Jan at this point. So when that happened, I go, you dumb bitch. Like, it was that was really dumb. I mean, I see where she's coming at. She was thinking about Akira had been the bottom. But Yara had been the bottom twice. Mm-hmm. So
that she only, like, her justification for picking was only based on what she thought the other girls were pick. How could you be that off? It's so actually also shocking.
Also, it's so weird because I do agree. I forgot. I think maybe it was Trinity, but I do agree, which is like, you're sort of blaming them for picking Akira. Because you thought they would pick Akira, but they picked Yara. But it's like you picked Akira. Nobody put the lipstick in your hand.
No.
You picked Akira. So it was like, why are you now upset about the judging criteria? It's just like, I forgot who's, it's like, yeah, just judge however Scarlet. You want to judge.
It's Scarlet Envy was saying that.
Yeah. Judge however you want to judge. And, well, Trinity was going to say it, but then Scarlet beat her to the punch.
I don't know if I believe it. Trinity seemed to be dancing around the point, and Scarlet was like, well, I feel that. She goes, I was gonna say that. And you're like, were you though? And I was like, is Trinity, I don't like her on this season. And are other people living for Trinity K. Bonet that I don't know about?
I gotta be honest. I feel like Trinity, in my opinion, is sort of like, we're similar, because I feel like Trinity starts a conversation not knowing where she's gonna end it. But then she'd be like, I'll get to the point. Like, yeah. She's like, I trust that I'll find a point. And it's like, I do the same thing.
She said that before. Other times when they're on the couch, she like gets upset and then she's like, well, you didn't let me finish.
Yeah.
I find it Trinity to be tiresome in those couch moments.
Yeah.
But I find her to be really being surprisingly bringing the talent every time in the challenge.
I'll go with you on that. All right. Next, one more thing before we move on to the next segment. And I have a question for you guys as well. Akira did the same thing that Trinity does, where she, in a confessional, she throws her hands up and looks around and goes, is she being serious? And I'm all, are the producers making each girl do that so they can cut it in?
They're only making the black drag queens do it, not the white ones. Cause it just seems like only the black drag queens are the ones who throw their hands up and are like, what? What's going on?
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Like,
by the way, if you were offended, we have an Afterthought Media complaint email address. It's thebestoftoday@gmail.com. Feel free to send.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm saying it because the producers are making it seem like they're not able to follow the thread of the story, and it's like everybody's confused. Like nobody understands. Also, can I point out another thing?
Yeah.
Why didn't Ginger Minj cause more of a kerfuffle about how people weren't saying congratulations to her for winning? I would have done that. Trinity did that like 2 weeks ago. I would have been like, hey guys, I won. I would have walked up to Trinity and said, why didn't you congratulate me?
Oh, I know. That would have been so fantastic. I know.
Yeah.
You're right. Sandra, I have a question for you. I'm very curious because they talk about criteria a lot. See, 5 episodes into the 6th season of the show. And what would be your criteria for voting someone out?
I was thinking about this. I think it's interesting that in season 2, when this was a new format, mm-hmm. they made it very clear until Alyssa switched it up, as mm-hmm. Fifi says, mm-hmm. that it was just going to be based on the judges' critiques of that. And they never say that anymore. In any of the other seasons, they go on full track record. And I wonder what, I think it would be the easiest way, if everyone's worried about, is this person going to be mad at me? The easiest way to do it is who got the worst critiques, who should go home if it was a regular season. I think I would be, there's just so many layers because you don't want everyone else getting mad. They're going to kick you off. So I would definitely try to go by track. I would try to go by what seems fair. Mm-hmm. But if I found a way to spin the fairness to be getting rid of the most talented person, that's what I would really be doing.
Lori, what about you?
I would go for whoever would be my biggest competition. Look, if you're in the bottom, you're in the bottom. Like that's, I didn't put you in the bottom. You're in the bottom. Mm-hmm. So if I could win, like let's say we all were in a comedy competition and Joe and Adam were in the bottom, I would go for whoever I think would be my biggest competition going mm-hmm. forward.
Yeah.
So for example, if I thought that it was actually being funny, obviously I would not go for Joe. But if I thought about
uh-huh.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But if I thought about who could bring like a bigger audience, I still wouldn't go for Joe. So, you know, like I think that I think you have to look at it like a competition. Now, again, I think for me personally, I would fall flat on my face because as you guys have pointed out, there's two games in this. There's the game that you're playing in the moment, mm-hmm. and then there's the game that everybody sees. And so if you do it, if I were to do it that way, I think a lot of people who are watching it would be like, well, she's a bitch. I hate her. And then you sort of lose fans from that. So I think that it's difficult. I think you have to sort of play this, like Adam was saying, you have to sort of rationalize it in a different way and not make it be so blatant that you're choosing somebody. You just, you know. You don't want to see further in the competition.
All right, very good. The correct answer is you vote for your biggest competition, but pretend that you're not. And
that's exactly what I said.
No, but you tell them, like, no, I was just voting for you because, you know, you make up some bullshit. Like, two episodes ago, you said this twice, and I'd make up all this thing. And then if it was one of these things where, like, this, where it was, like, all for Yara, and then one was for Akiria, and they're like, who voted for Akiria? I'd be like, I don't know. I voted for Jan, even though I totally voted for Akiria, right?
Smart.
I would do that where if they were like, hey, what's your lipstick, Lori? I would pull out my lipstick and I'd be like, what?
Who put this in here?
What? I didn't pick this.
Producer shenanigans.
I'm being waved on like I have to say the name. I didn't pick this lipstick, okay? Who? Adam Salandra. I didn't pick. What? I picked Joe. What?
Yeah, yeah. I agree. All right. The next day. Oh, no. I already did that. But here's. Let's talk about the next day. I like that they walk in. The next day, there's the fuck you all. And Jan literally says, she's reading it, fuck you all. But on the TV, the F word is blurred out. That made no sense.
That.
Maybe you know what it could be, because when they show it on TV, they'll bleep the F word, and then it'll already be blurred out. Maybe that's what it is. Pink table talk. Okay, let's just say this now. We know, I know, you know, the American people know, this is going to be a fucking horrible show on WoW Presents Plus, where they're just going to get old random drag queens and just do this bit. And this is just their way of introducing that bit. Mark my words. Coming soon on WoW.
Isn't there a show on Facebook Live or something that's called Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith and
Mother? That's what they're sending up.
Oh, it's a parody. Okay,
yeah, so
I've never watched. Do they look at a box?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I also love that RuPaul says, he goes, and you can make your fabulous looks from the fabric wall at fabric.com. Like, these bitches aren't making their own looks. What are they talking about? They never used one stitch of fabric from that fabric.com wall.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. Is we didn't see anything.
No.
We saw like almost nothing about the prep for this pink table talk.
Mm-hmm. It comes up again, but let me ask Adam Salandra and Lori, feel free to weigh in if you like. Is Trinity K. Bonet trade?
Okay, so what are we thinking about as far as definition of trade? Is this like a gay man who looks like a manly man, or who looks like a you know, like a straight hetero man. Hetero man. Is that what we're trying to say?
I'm now going with what Akiri explained it as, because as I said, I do think that this stems from the black community. So I'm going to just give it to her. And she said a hot gay guy that looks straight, right? Essentially.
Yeah.
And I think that they're nailing it when they say Trinity is the, I think it's because of Trinity's fashion that prevents her, because it's a little too much fashion.
Yes.
No offense, straighties. Mm-hmm. But you're not known for the fashion. Mm-hmm. I mean, nor am I. But I mean, I guess, you know, this group, we don't talk about fashion in that way. But stereotypically, Trinity is serving some gay looks, and that prevents him as a boy from being trade.
I agree. I felt like he was trade in the face, but then his and the body. But then he had that weird rope bandana that came down and it was like frilly. And I was like, that's the gayest thing I've ever seen.
Right.
I will say that there was one time where I think he came into the workroom and he was wearing like a backwards cap. And I was like, I think if he asked now, right at that moment, am I trade? I think he would be trade.
Trade.
All right. I also want to say, like, there's a part where Jan is talking about how she wants to sound. She goes, on my original season, I sounded a little bit fake, but I want to sound more real. I'm like, you sound so fake right now, trying to say that you want to sound more real. She sounded.
So are we going to talk about the Jan thing, or are we doing that
later? We'll
get
to the Jan part. We can get to it later.
Okay. I've acquiesced to some things, and that's why I say I like Jan.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear.
Now, okay. Later in the workroom, Scarlett and Kylie had a moment, because Scarlett accuses Kylie... not accuses her. She questions whether Kylie has what it takes to bring the energy, to bring the sort of the pizzazz to the thing. And Kylie gets kind of offended. She says she's high energy. Do you think Kylie's high energy, Lori?
No, I think that she would see me doing this now and go, whoa, she needs to slow down and stop talking so loud. Like, I think this, me being this exhausted is like her at a 10.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think, and also like, I look, she's obviously very attractive. Mm-hmm. We have to give her that.
Obviously.
Her looks are great. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she tries her best, but she's been middling this entire time and she's been getting by on her looks.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's going to be like acting challenges. And I think that it's showing that she's just not capable of doing it. And also, like, she goes into it saying, I've never done this. I'm nervous about it. I don't know what I'm doing. Look, do I think Scarlett maybe was being a little too pushy? Yes, but I mean, the result was that she was not a great moderator. So, you know, she wasn't terrible, but she wasn't great. I mean, if you put Eureka's, Ginger's, and then Scarlett or Sonique's up against each other, Sonique comes out, you know, in the bottom.
I think you and I might disagree about this. Solandra, what about you? Do you think Kylie's come out of her shell?
Compared to her season, yes. But I wrote that I do think Scarlett was right to worry about Kylie's energy. I don't even know if energy is the word. It's just the way Kylie speaks is not very... It's not that it's monotone. I don't think that's the right word, but it's just not charismatic, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Scarlett was worried more because she's like, okay, if we're getting judged as a team, you're going to bring us down. Obviously, ironic that Scarlett was the one who ended up leaving, but I do think that Kylie's talents are not in the personality part of her.
All right, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we're going to jump right into those pink table talks that Lori has been dying.
Just found out is a parody.
And just found out is a parody. Thought it was an actual talk show that they made.
No, I knew it was a parody. I just wanted to make sure that it was a parody. That's all.
All right, very good. We'll be back right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race two times, recording two different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest, because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this, so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way. Big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy, tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire, and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/dragrace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back. Pink Table Talk here. Woo. Let's talk about it. The first one was Team Sex. Now, Team Sex consisted of Trinity K. Bonet, Eureka O'Hara, and Akira C. Davenport. Akira used to identify as a woman, we learned, before she retransitioned. And the queens talk about having sex in drag. Let's start with you, Adam Solandra. Your big thoughts on Team Sex's Pink Table Talk.
I thought they were so, so good.
Yeah.
I thought they had a great blend of being funny and engaging and also being real. Mm-hmm. I am honestly blown away by Akira's news of retransitioning. I hadn't heard of, not that that's not a thing or that it is a thing, but like, I just, first of all, didn't know for her specifically, mm-hmm. but also never thought of someone doing that really. Mm-hmm. And I want to know more about that, because she in boy mode seems like a boy. I think that's very interesting. Although, ironically, I actually do know that Eureka used to identify as a trans woman before coming out as non-binary.
Yeah.
So that's actually two of them in that table, which
and
is,
she didn't mention it, or they cut it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
Wild. Yeah. 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 But anyway, I thought they were. I loved them.
Yeah. Lori, what about you?
Yeah, you know, I think we've been talking lately about on this episode about how underrated it seems that Eureka's talents are. And I think that this kind of proved it again, where I feel like she was robbed of the win, because I felt like she did such a great job of moderating and moving the flow of the conversation and sort of interjecting and jumping in. Honestly, I mean, not to give you a compliment, because I know you hate it and it really pains me to do so, but I feel like it was a lot like Joe. I felt like Joe, you know, you deal with me, who's, you know, I'm sort of like a machine gun, mm-hmm. and you deal with those so many other people, and you find a way to balance it out and make it, you know, a cohesive unit. And I thought that that's what Eureka did. Eureka made it a conversation, whereas I felt like the other two, even though I thought they were good, I felt like they were more like, I'm going to say my thing, and then you're going to say your thing, and then this person's going to say their thing. This was a conversation.
Lori's just being nice because she's buttering me up. She asked me for a letter recommendation today.
I did.
Yeah.
What about Preppy K?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just for the summer.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say Preppy K because I don't understand why it's called that, but I love it.
It's so, to prepare you for kindergarten. Actually, It's to prepare you for preschool for kindergarten.
Damn.
You know, so Lori made a good point, and you touched on it too, Adam, which is that I was thinking this yesterday when I watched this episode, is that it's low-key. Everyone's talking about Trinity. Everyone's talking about Raja. But Eureka is low-key getting a redemption. She didn't need the redemption that those two needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she has gained a redemption in that she was sort of seen as annoying and pushy. And so yeah. far this season, she's been very, very likable and yep. not pushy. And I think she's kind of getting like a sort of, I wouldn't say a winner's edit, but definitely a not annoying edit. And
I agree.
Yeah.
And I mean, I came in with her as one of my favorites, yeah. so I'm happy to see that. But yeah. that being said, she hasn't won yet. She's been in the top yeah. many, many times.
Yeah.
But I hope she has a win soon.
If you had to give this a grade, and you can include pluses and minuses, A through F, what would you give this one, Adam Salandra?
Based on comparing them all, this gets an actual A+ from me.
A+. What about you?
I liked it.
I'm the same. A+.
The correct answer is B+.
How is that the correct answer?
Because Joe said it.
I still feel like we should have somebody else do the grading. I don't think it should be you that's allowed to just give what you think is the right answer.
Team Motherhood, now in Team Motherhood, we have, let's see here. We have Scarlet Envy, Raja O'Hara, and Kylie Sonique Love. Scarlet discusses her two moms. Raja reveals her real life struggles with her own mother. And Kylie talks about owning a dog. Let's start with, Adam Salandra on this. No, I'm sorry, with Lori on this one. Lori, give me your thoughts. What were your thoughts on Team Motherhood?
So I will say that I think later on judges are going to say that, you know, they put Scarlett in the bottom, and we had said in the beginning, some of you, Joe had said that, or I think maybe it was Adam said that you didn't understand why Scarlett was in the bottom. And I think that for me personally, this is the only thing I agreed with the judges on, is that I felt like she was doing more. She was trying to be like a perform, you know. The best way I can explain it is it reminds me a lot of like my stand-up comedy friends, and Joe knows what I'm talking about, who like after a show when we go out to dinner and they just can't turn it off, you know, mm-hmm. and they just are like joking and they'll say something personal and then they'll throw a joke in there and then they'll, you know, do something. And so I just think that it didn't seem like, it seemed like she was trying to be, trying to tell something personal, but not be too personal. And so, yeah, I got why, Ross said that it just seemed a little off. I don't understand why RuPaul said it made her feel uncomfortable. I thought that was a little harsh, but I did see why Ross said it felt a little off. So
what were your thoughts, Adam Salandra?
I do think it was harsh, but I got why Ru thought it was uncomfortable. Because it was just very out of place. Everyone else, all other eight of them were serious. And it looked like Scarlett was trying to almost put on a character a little bit. And I was wondering, like, obviously they told them, because most challenges you go in, you think, okay, the point is to make them laugh. And no one did that. So it was in my mind, they clearly told them, you're supposed to be serious, be yourselves. You're not being a character, because otherwise more than,
yeah,
just Scarlett would have done it. But she was, like you said, she's definitely was trying to be on, and it just came off not inauthentic, but that she wasn't just being herself. And it it stood out very much because the others were. And that's why I thought it was uncomfortable, as Rue said. And also because she was talking about her real life. So it's like, you can't put on your drag character when no one else is, and you're talking about your actual self.
Yeah. And she was doing like weird, like hand things. Like, my girlfriend has a cousin, a very adorable 13-year-old cousin, who like is really into TikTok and Musical.ly. And so she'll do like, she'll break out into like dance moves and do stuff with her hands. And I felt like that's what she was, Scarlett was doing while she was talking. And she was like, yeah, so, you know, I just felt like my moms really came together. And it's just like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. For me, Scarlett was my least favorite of, despite judging being weird on this one for me, she was my least favorite of the nine.
All right. Well, this is where I'm going to have to disagree with you guys. First of all, the conversation,
well, you're wrong.
The conversation seemed a little staged at first, and it was because of Scarlett. I will give you that. And this is going to sound really kind of shady, what I'm going to say right here. And if you have a problem with it, like I said, we've opened up the Afterthought Media complaint line. thebestoftoday@gmail.com. But look, I think it's very cute that Scarlett's mom later in life found, you know, became comfortable with who she was and found love with a same-sex partner, and now Scarlett has two moms. But the way it was sold was that she was raised by two moms. And Scarlett even says, oh, they met 10 years ago. And Scarlett is well into adulthood. And so, I mean, I think it's cute that she has a mom who has a lesbian lover, but I would, what do you have? I mean, that's the whole selling point, was that her mom found a lesbian lover. She wasn't raised by two women, which would be very interesting. That would be very, very interesting. But she's probably at least in college by the time her mom meets this other woman. So
you think she's a liar?
I don't think she's a liar. I think she's blowing it up to, like, that's her big, oh my God, everyone's going to love this that I have two moms.
Well, we do know that she kind of tends to, you know, blur the truth. But you bring up a good point, Joe, in that, you know, when Ginger and her were first fighting over who was going to get motherhood, Ginger was like, I am trying to be a mom. We have a surrogate and we're trying to be a mom. It's really something that I want to talk about. And Scarlett was like, well, I have two moms. And that's really personal to me. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that she misrepresented the level of impact the story had, which, like you said, it's a cute story, but yeah, technically you still only have one mom. Like, you don't have two moms.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just like, yeah.
But years ago in another life, I tutored some boys who were the children of two dads. But the dads clearly raised them both. And so they were raised by two gay men. But I don't know. But if they were, if you know, I don't know. It was just like, oh, really? Okay. That would be as if, like, Lori, did you know I went on a trip with LeBron James? And you were like, what? And I was like, yeah. And then when you pressed me for the story, I was like, when I flew to Seattle, he was on the same flight.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, on the plane, I watched Space Jam 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to keep bringing it back to stand-up comedy, but there's a big issue in stand-up where, and Joe knows big about issue. This too, where, like, well, not a big issue, but I feel like it's a big issue because it's, you're lying.
Yeah.
But it's like, let's say Joe and I would do an open mic at the improv, and Daniel Tosh would pop in. You know, and there'd be like 50 comics and Daniel Tosh would do 10 minutes. Like, you would have like at least 25 comics saying, I opened for Daniel Tosh.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and it's like, you didn't open for him. You just were in a show that he, you know, so it connotes a different connotation sort of thing.
It's Hollywood, baby. Yeah. You got to spin.
Go ahead, Talandra.
I do. Is it okay to switch? I want to say that, despite I saying Scarlett had every right to worry about Kylie, because I would have too, I do think she stepped up to the plate here and gave the personality that she needed to give.
That's what my
Kylie?
My next comment was going to be, I actually think Kylie did a good job as a moderator. She didn't step on Raja when Raja started crying. In fact, she took what Raja said and added to it. Mm-hmm. She did the best she could. Look, she doesn't want to be a mother. She's not going to be a mother. She has no interest in being a mother. She was stuck with this topic. So she brought it back to when she did her own thing about having a dog. But then also she, when Raja was crying, she did add in a bit from her personal life that seemed very authentic about her own relationship with her mother.
And it was a powerful moment,
I thought. Yeah, I thought it was a very serviceable job as a moderator. Was it?
You know,
yeah, go ahead.
When I watched it, I genuinely didn't think she did a good job. I will say that. But hearing you talk about it, yeah, I guess she did. She did do it. I thought she had a very sweet, her, and even though I think Eureka's team won, or deserved to win, her and Raja, I felt like, had the best moment of the entire episode. Mm-hmm. When she said that thing about don't let a hurt child make adult decisions or something like that. And I thought that was a really poignant moment. So yeah, I changed my mind. I think that.
All right. What's your grade, Cilantra?
B minus.
Well, you're on camp.
So I think this is how I'm going to do it. I think that. So Neek, I had given a C, mm-hmm. but I'm going to give a B. Mm-hmm. Scarlett, I gave an F mm-hmm. Because I felt like she just was too hyped up. I think she was too nervous. Mm-hmm. And then Raja, I thought did the best, so I was going to give her an A. So I feel like if you put those together, it's like a B minus.
Oh, so you guys both agree. Yeah. Unfortunately, so close. The correct answer is C plus.
Okay.
But that was close. They were close.
Well, right. See, B minus C plus. That's basically the same thing.
All right. Next, we have Team Body. On Team Body, we had Ginger Minj, Jan, and Pandora Box. We learned that Ginger had a bowel obstruction as a child. Jan got rude comments about her weight, and Pandora Box discusses ageism, particularly in the beauty side of things. Let's start with Adam Solanger from Show Business. What are your thoughts here on Team Body?
I had the least amount of thoughts for this group. It was just okay to me. I thought that Ginger's story about her intestines, that was very shocking to me and very interesting to learn.
Yeah.
Especially being 5'4". It just must have been wild to be gaining weight so quickly and being so short. And then something that was said during judging, I believe Michelle Visage said that she feels Pandora is holding back, and I so strongly agree. I feel like Pandora, I get vibes that she's just so uncomfortable to be around these other girls, feeling like she's too old and insecure, and I thought she would like break into it more, but she seems so uncomfortable constantly, and it's making me uncomfortable.
Lori, what about you? What do you think?
I got to be honest, though. I thought that was a little unfair. Look, I agree with you. I think that maybe in performance-wise, maybe she's not – you know, I don't. I think performance wise, I feel like she's doing good. I mean, she's been doing pretty well. And I think that, again, I think that the judging for this competition was a little off, because it's like how much it was almost like, how much do we think you emoted? How much do we think you shared? And I don't think that that's right for the judges to choose what somebody can or cannot share. I mean, they told Pandora you didn't say how you felt about it, but if you go back to Akiria, Eureka, the team that won, Trinity, they didn't necessarily share their feelings. They shared statements, they shared facts about their lives, but they didn't share their feelings. So I don't think that that is fair to say that she, you know, she didn't share enough. She shared what she was comfortable sharing in on camera. And I felt like she did what Scarlett was trying to do, which was share a personal thing and make a joke about it and have it be a fun, light moment. So I don't know. I thought she did a passable job.
First of all, this Jan. In the intro to
Are we
this,
getting into Jan?
Yeah, well, let's get into her right here. But let me give my thoughts right here. Well, you know what? We'll get into Jan on the elimination day, which is next. But on the intro to this bit, Ginger comes out and says something about how she has an enlarged heart, a self-effacing joke. Then Pandora comes on to the self-effacing joke. And then Jan comes out and just talks about how rad she is or something. I'm like, ugh, you're so fucking annoying. I swear to God. Then this convo...
I don't mean to interrupt you, Lori, for a hot second. I will say this. So up until this point, I'm still not on Jan. I'm still not on board. I'm still not on the Jan train.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm still not on the Jan plane. So I will say, rewatch that moment that you're talking about where she talks about how she's awesome. She does some hand movements where I legitimately think she's having a stroke slash she's and also trying to hold in a sneeze. Like she it looks so weird.
Yes.
I was like, what is wrong? What's wrong with her?
Yeah.
I also love that we're 3/4 of the episode in and you still don't like Jan. So I just can't wait to see what point is this twist going to come.
Did Jan have a lottery that Lori won or something?
Anyway. I will literally tell you the moment that turned me. And I was like, all right. I mean, look, I'm not a Stan.
You're
a
Jan Stan.
I'm not a Stan Stan. I'm just saying that I get her now. I like her and I get her.
All right.
I can't wait.
Next, the convo in this edition of Pink Table Talk was so scripted. It was so fake. It sounded like the worst infomercial you ever heard. And if it was funny, I would have thought it was a bit they were doing, but it wasn't because they were like, they had like a weird sort of serious gravitas about them that it was like, this is a real thing. We're having a real conversation. It's completely scripted. And we've even like, there's a part where Pandora goes, well, you know, when I was born in 1912, and then Ginger looks at Jan just so and says, and then she wasn't the second thing to go down on. And you're like, the joke was so neatly constructed and written and scripted. You're like, it was a scripted thing that they did because they probably thought world theater queens will memorize this thing. And it sounded like a shitty infomercial. It was horrible. And to give Ginger any credit, it's like she didn't do any actual moderating. She was just one character in a script. Now, Jan talks about the hate she was getting. She goes, and then I went on social media and they were saying, stop going on social media. Don't go on social media, Jan. It's hurting your feelings. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. And I don't know. I'm very curious. I did not like this at all. I'm very curious to hear your grades. Adam Salandra, you're great on this one.
I thought I liked them a little better because I didn't like Scarlett, but everything you said, I agree with very, very strongly. So I'm actually going to do C-.
Lori Roggenkamp?
I give it a C+. I thought Jan did a passable job. I agree with you that I didn't think Ginger Minge was a good moderator, but I thought she was the more entertaining of the three.
Well, she shined because the other two were not really popping.
And I thought Pandora, I thought she was demure, but I felt like, you know, she was trying her best. So I give it a C+.
The correct answer is C-.
I got one!
Yeah. All right. Let's go over to...
All right. Never mind.
It's elimination day and the girls get ready for the runway. Raja worries she may have revealed too much and stresses about the repercussions. Meanwhile, Jan talks about the voting criteria. Lori, let's start with you. Any big things from elimination day?
So this is sort of around the time that I started liking Jan.
Okay.
We got here.
I will say that it really clicked with me in, I'll tell you the moment, after it was after the judging or a little bit after the judging. But what I liked about Jan was, so in the beginning, you know, she had voted, but I felt like she was genuinely trying to find out what the voting was going to be like. I think she was genuinely being like, okay, I want to be on the same page with everybody. And then I think that they took that to mean that she was being annoying and she was trying, you know, she was trying to like bring it up again. And I think she was just, she made a remark like, look, I know people perceive me a certain way and they think that I'm false. And they think, and she repeats herself. She repeats this many times in the show, but for some reason it really hit me where she's like, people think I'm false. People think this is me. This is how I am. I honestly don't know how to change it. I want to show a different, like, and it just, to me, in that moment, I just thought, if this is who she is, she can't change it. Just like how Sonique can't change being a, you know, a soft-spoken person, she can't change being this sort of annoying, over-the-top person. Like, this is who she is. Mm-hmm. So she's, like, and so to me, honestly, it didn't click till later, but this is when I started really like going like, okay, that maybe this is who she is. So
I do think that's true. I don't think she's being fake personally. I just think she happens to be what I now, after talking to you the past few weeks, annoying. I actually came into the season thinking I liked her, but I am realizing, oh, actually your personality is a little grating for me. But I do think it's rough that she has to hear she's supposed to change it every week when she actually is just that gal, whether you like it or not.
Well, here's what I'll say. I don't think she is consciously being fake, but I think she doesn't know how to be real.
I actually get that too.
You know, I kind of feel, you know, strange, I'm going to use a weird example here. I kind of feel Tom Cruise is sort of the same way, not in a different kind of way, but like, I don't feel like I often wonder, it's a weird thing to wonder, but I often think about celebrities taking a shit. Like, can
who doesn't?
Yeah. Can you imagine like Brad Pitt taking a shit or like farting? 100%.
No. Too beautiful.
Yeah. But I imagine Tom Cruise is like a robot. And I can't imagine him pooping or anything. Like, I imagine everything's just so, like, he has such a weird type A fixation. Like, it's type A to another degree.
Yeah.
That everything has to be just so and fixed. And, like, and that the real Tom Cruise, in other words, he is now only the persona. You know, like I've said, Aiden calls this character Chobatance.
Okay. Yeah.
And finds Chobatance tiring. He's fallen in love with Chobatance. But it's like if Chobatance took over and Chobatance just never came out anymore, you know? And it's the same thing where, like, I don't know what Jan's real name is, you know? But, let's say it's Jaime, right? But, does anyone know? Lori, tell me what the Jan's real name is. I'm sort of put in the Discord. But, it's like what it feels like is we're never seeing the boy name. We're only seeing Jan. We're only seeing, like, in other words, let's take Raja's pink table talk.
Charlie Mantioni.
Okay, so his name's Charlie. With Raja, and I don't know what Raja's real name is. You don't have to look it up. But we saw the real, whatever Raja's boy name is. You know, it's going to the stupid bit that RuPaul does, Little Raja. You know, we saw Little Raja and what, you know, if they ever did the bit with what would Raja say to Little Raja. We saw that. We saw that real human being. And you can say that for other queens, you know. And I think actually with the actual all-stars, the legendary ones, we have seen that real person before. With Jan, I think people lose patience with her because I don't feel that I've ever seen Charlie. And I think the frustrating thing and maybe the scary part might be is that is the real Charlie.
I think it is. That's what I'm saying. There was a moment, and we will get to it, but there's a moment where I go, this is all she is. This is it. And she is trying her level best. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, like, so I think that that's Jan. I think Jan is just meatballs. I think that, you know, they want her to be something else, but she is just Jan. Like she can't do anything else. And I think, honestly, I feel bad for her now because I think that she's legitimately going, I don't know what else I can show you.
Solange, you want to make a final point here, Solange?
Yeah, because I think it's – I see both of your points, and this is what I – it's kind of making me think that her personality is exactly what you're saying, Joe, which is that it feels like always on and we're never seeing like the tone down. But that might just unfortunately be Charlie's actual personality in the world. Mm-hmm. And so it might be a little grating, but if it is – or also – Jan is young. I don't know how young.
She's 28.
So, like, getting older, but could still fall into herself a little more. But as it is now, this is just who she is. And it feels fake. That'd be hard if your actual personality comes off as fake, but you're being real. Like,
no,
what do you do?
I actually don't think it's her real personality. Actually, I'm going to use myself and my failed stand-up comedy career as an example. And when I did stand up, I'll say this right at the bat, is for some reason I developed this voice, not a difference in my regular voice. It's the way I spoke, a cadence, if you will. And that didn't sound like the way I sound now. It had like a weird, like, you know, like there was a sing-songiness of the way I spoke. And I was conscious of it at the time. It would drive me crazy, but I didn't know how to fix it. I didn't know how to change it. It was the only thing I could do. And that's why podcasting from a comedy standpoint has been my godsend, because it's allowed me to be more conversational. People don't realize that stand-up comedy has a lot of rules attached to it. And there's something about those rules that made me speak in a very sing-songy way that didn't jive with stand-up. It didn't allow me to flourish and be my real self. And I feel that Jan is probably going through the same thing that I went through. And so I feel with Jan, I feel for her because I've been there. I feel she's genuinely struggling, that she doesn't know how to be the real person. It's hard to explain, but I understand what she's going through, but she has to be, I don't know how you kind of
proved my point though, Joe. I think your argument proved my point, because you're saying that you had a voice that was different and you couldn't change it no matter how hard you tried.
Yes.
So you, even though you wanted to do this thing, you tried to do it a different way and you tried and you couldn't do it. And that's where Jan is right now. Jan can't change it. She, no matter how hard she tries, she cannot change how she comes across.
Okay, I'll go with that, but I don't buy into that. That's the real Jan.
Well, I honestly think, I take everything, you know, pro or con. Somebody tells me something, I take what they say to be truth until I'm shown otherwise. So if Jan, I'll just get to it. The moment that it clicked for me was Jan was crying, right?
Oh, that's the worst.
And she was crying and it looked fake.
It did.
That's the thing. It looked fake, but it's like, that's Jan. That is Jan. Jan is saying, this is me. This is who I am. And if somebody is willing to go to those lengths to say, this is how I am, and I don't know how to change it, I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to believe you. If this is who you say you are, I'm going to, until I'm proven otherwise, I'm going to believe her. She is trying her level best. And I think it's completely unfair that that people are saying that she is fake and that she's not doing it when she is out there. She's been doing the same thing over and over and over again. And it's like, at some point you just got to be like, this is Jan.
We'll talk when we get to, I have a lot to say about it, but we need to move on. All right. Now it's time for the looks. We're going to buzz right through these. Again, very special thanks to listener Drew Brooks, who's put together Brooks Looks over in the Discord. And those are the photos we look at to follow. So if you want to follow along with us, if you're a Patreon supporter, go over to our Discord and go to the Looks channel under Drag Race Recap. Or if you want to, join Patreon and you can do it too. All right. First up, we have Trinity K. Bonet. We'll start with Adam Salandra. Adam Salandra, Tudor Boot.
Very likely my toot of the night. Loved it.
Oh, really? All right. Lori Roggenkamp?
Oh, sorry. One second. I haven't been able to get to the... toot. I loved it.
Toot. The correct answer is... toot. Toot. All right. Next, we have Eureka O'Hara. She came out as well in some, I don't know, awful plaid thing. So Lori Roggenkamp, what do you give it?
It's not plaid.
Lori, I don't know fashion or colors, okay? I need to go to primary pre-K, or what is it called again? Prep K?
Preppy K.
There's literally 46 patterns on her dress, and I do think plaid is not one of them.
I don't think plaid is, at all involved. Toot, I loved it.
All right, Lori says toot.
Adam For Salandra. Those hideous patterns to work together like they did, I also give it a toot. It's impressive.
All right, the correct answer is toot. All right, next we have Akira C. Davenport. I don't know what that is. Let's start with Adam Salandra. What do you give it there, Salandra?
I guess I don't know what it is either, but I'm still giving it a toot.
All right, Lori Roggenkamp?
Boot. It terrifies me.
The correct answer is boot. All right, next we have Raja O'Hara.
Oh, doing really well.
Yeah. Raja, I know you're leading. It's 3-2 right now with Lori in the lead. Raja O'Hara here. Lori Rockingham, what do you give it?
2. I thought it was great.
Uh-huh. Adam Salandra?
It didn't do something for me either way, but I would give it a 2 overall.
The correct answer is 2. Very good, guys. All right, next we have Kylie Sonique Love. Lori, what do you give? Oh, no, Salandra, what do you give it?
Guys, I hated this for some reason. It's a boot for me.
All right, Lori Roggenkamp.
I am so excited that we're on the same page for once. I say boot too. The shapes were confusing, and also I didn't understand the hat. I thought the hat was such a weird ad.
But judges loved it, so I was like, I know I don't know fashion, but what's happening? Yeah. This is grossing me out.
It was super weird. So yeah,
very, very interesting, because the correct answer is boot. All right, Scarlett Envy. Let's start with Lori Roggenkamp. Lori, your thoughts on Scarlett Envy's outfit, toot or boot?
Yeah, I would say toot. I wasn't really like too amazed by this, but when she said that it was made of the letters of her love letters of her grandparents, mm-hmm. I mean, first I was upset that she ruined the love letters from her grandparents, but then I thought, oh, that's a sweet dress, so toot.
First of all, I don't think that. These are the little, I think that she like put.
They're the
like,
exact ones, Adam.
Okay. I also, especially because of the love letter story, give it a toot.
All right, very good. Toot as well. That was the correct answer. Next, we have Jan. Lori Roggenkamp, your thoughts on Jan?
Boot.
Your new fave. Oh,
a boot, a big boot.
So harsh to your new fave.
I will honestly say that the judges were right on this one. I thought the dress itself was good, but the pant, those compression socks were an awful choice.
What were they? Also, why? Oh, by the way, it's going to be a boot for me as well. But why? The only thing that is like weird pattern. Well, that's not true. But is really the bags that she brought, the prop.
Yeah, that's true.
The correct answer is boot. All right. Next, we have Ginger Minj. Adam Salandra, your thoughts on Ginger Minj?
This is cute. I give it a toot.
Lori Roggenkamp?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the I have to go to the challenge, and the challenge is like, what is it, like mixed match patterns, and so I give it a toot. But normally I would say boot.
Oh, very, very interesting. Unfortunately, it's a boot. All right.
What?
Yep.
How is it a boot?
I don't make the rules, Lori. It's
you
a boot.
You do make the rules.
Right, that's literally
you
make the
rules. That is what you do.
Next, we have Pandora Box.
How is it a boot?
Lori, we have to move on. Adam Salandra needs to get to
happy hour.
Happy hour at, what's
rough
the bar?
Trade.
At Rough Trade. All right, next we have Pandora Box. Adam, your thoughts on Pandora Box?
This was going to be a boot for me, but when she said it's referencing Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, because it absolutely is, it's a toot.
Lori?
I still say it's a boot. It just looks weird.
All right. Well, the correct answer is boot. So it looks Lori Roggenkamp
won this week.
The big winner this week.
I still don't understand why this is. You are the one to tell us who wins or loses.
Lori, make the rules.
You do make the rules. That is your only thing.
Wow. Only thing.
You're disqualified. All right.
On
the main stage, Team Sex, which is made up of Akira, Eureka, and Trinity, is named the best team. Meanwhile, Ginger Minj is named the overall winner of the challenge. Later, Kylie Sonique Love, Trinity K. Bonet, and Jan are placed in the bottom. Back in the workroom, the girls play jury and defendant. Scarlett makes the point that Jan got the worst critiques. Jan agrees and points out that Rue told Scarlett that Scarlett made Rue feel uncomfortable. And Kylie, meanwhile, makes an impassioned plea to be saved. Let's start with Adam Salandra. Your thoughts on everything that happened on the main stage and the deliberations back in the workroom. What were your thoughts here?
Please, please, if you have a conspiracy theory or something, explain to me why the proper team won, and then they were like, but we're giving it to Ginger out of nowhere, because I don't get it. And I love
Ginger. No explanation. It was like Joe with the looks. It was like, okay, Ginger won, now we're moving on to the next thing.
I think this is my theory, that the producers were nervous because they didn't know who was going to go home. that they, and they didn't want Jan to go home. And so they knew maybe, it was implicit, but they knew that because Ginger has been very heavily involved with WoW, heavily involved with Rue, had just filmed the thing on, Fakakta, AJ and the Queen, like, is very in, you know, a team player, that Ginger would make the correct choice. And so now I will say I watched Untuck and I saw it, and you know what? They were kind of right to be scared because it's probably the tightest one that we've seen. The cast still would have sent Scarlett home, but it was literally a 5-4 vote, to send Scarlett home. Jan just eked by on that one. So I think that they knew Ginger would make the right choice and would pick up the hints and clues.
I always think it is based on some manipulating who goes home, but I guess, like, I thought this was a very difficult one to even decide who. I love that Scarlett just walked in and basically was like, well, I didn't get the worst critiques, when in fact she did, in my opinion. But
oh, really? I disagree. I think Jan got worse critiques. They love the outfit. They love raves about the outfit. There was the critique about how, you know, okay, you're going in and out, and but even kind of understanding it. But Jan across the board, they didn't like the outfit, and she's not real. And I feel that Rue's uncomfortable thing, you know, when you play telephone game and report it backstage, makes it seem like Rue was like, I was very uncomfortable. And I think what Rue was really saying was like the going back and forth, maybe a little like, I think didn't want to say cringy. So she said uncomfortable, but I think cringy is a better word of what Rue was trying to get across.
Yeah. Well, that's not a great, that's worse.
No, it's not a great critique, but I still think Scarlett's critiques on the whole, look, she did not, I agree, but she, I feel on the whole got better critiques than Jan. Lori, what about you?
I think though, I kind of see what they're saying though, because I feel like RuPaul says, first off, she sometimes doesn't even say anything during judging panels. And I think when she chooses to say things, I think she knows that her words hold more weight. So I think the fact that she said that it was uncomfortable, I think meant something to the queens. And I also thought that Jan did acknowledge that the other judges did say that she had harsher critiques.
She did, yes.
But so I felt like, you know, I thought Jan was honest to Ginger, and I felt like Scarlett, even though, yes, you could say that she did not get the harshest critiques, I felt like she left out a key piece of information. And so I think that, I was totally fine with her getting the
job. Hold on. Here, once again, my argument against Jan is that in a confessional, Jan says something to the effect of like, I can't believe Scarlett's going there and lying when she clearly got the worst critiques. I can't believe she's doing them. Like, even if we're arguing about who got the worst critiques, Jan's making it seem like it's so patently obvious that Jan went skated by and that, that Scarlett got much harsher critiques. And like, it's so obvious, like that to the point where Scarlett's a liar and a manipulator and trying to paint the story a different way. And definitely, I would say, if anything, it's open for interpretation who got worse critiques, you know?
Well, clearly.
Yeah. Next.
I disagree, though. I think that she was genuine. I think she was upset that she left out the key part, which is that RuPaul said, this made me uncomfortable.
No, I know what you're saying, but I'm talking about I'm agreeing with you, but what I'm saying is in the confessional, Jan says something to the effect of like, oh my God, it's so obvious.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I'm like, no, is it? Like, it's crazy. You know what I'm not going to do that. I was going to put that part of the speech in later, but that's a lot of work. All right. Now Kylie gives a great speech. I think she did a really good speech, in the workroom to plead her case. But now I'm like, did she make that speech a little too early? I don't think she needed to make it. And now she can't make that speech again. I see. I actually put a quote here. Jan says that Scarlett is trying to pin a narrative on her. But I feel Scarlett gave a correct assessment of the situation, even if you're open to interpretation.
No, I don't think she did, though. I didn't either. If Scarlett had said, Jan got the most critiques or the harshest critiques, I got critiques. RuPaul said that I made, you know, that it made her uncomfortable. Then, yeah, that would be the, but she specifically kept that out of the narrative. So, yeah, she was trying to pin a story on her.
Who would you have sent home, Lori?
Oh, me? I would have sent, I mean, I probably would have sent Scarlett home, but only because of the lying thing. I think if I was just looking at talent, I would have sent Sonique home.
She's not.
She left out. Omitting is lying.
Okay. Okay.
Leaving Salandra, something out is lying.
Salandra, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I would have gave Scarlett the chop.
Now, why would you have given Scarlett the chop?
For me, she was the worst in the challenge. And I also, and she didn't, she hadn't won, even though there were times I thought she deserved to do better than she did. Her track record, there were no wins, and she did the worst. So. She's got to go.
All right.
Yeah, that's the reason why I would pick Scarlett.
Can you tell me what those letters are?
Okay. These are Scarlett. This is Scarlett's critique.
Actually, my grandparents' love letters from the 1940s. He was in the Navy. You can see the Navy symbol here.
Wow. That's the most romantic thing I've ever heard. No one's ever written me a love letter. Not once. I got an email that was pretty polite once. I thought when you talked about your mom's, at the pink table talk, that was fascinating. The best parts were when you were just telling your truth. But you do this thing where sometimes you switch into performancy. So when you flipped into that show mode, I was like, oh, get back to being vulnerable, because that is the most interesting part.
And I'm going to stop right here for a second and say the entire third team, Ginger's team, Pandora, Jan, they were all 100% of the time in performance mode.
I think a big part of our lives as performers or as drag performers is you always kind of have a little bit of a mask on, and it's hard work to let that mask fall down. It's terrifying. And sometimes you drop it and you want to put it right back up again. You're like, wait a minute. Ooh, they saw me with my stuff off.
It was interesting watching you go between your drag persona and your real life as your mother's son. I don't know if you have found that sweet spot between the two yet. It kind of made me feel, I don't know, it made me feel a little uncomfortable.
Also, can we talk about that for a second? What does that mean?
Exactly.
Like, you haven't found the thing between yourself and your mother's son. What the fuck does that mean?
But that's my point. But go ahead.
By mother's son, she just means your boy self. And I think she didn't want to. And they were talking about mothers. It's like drag persona versus who you actually are as boy Scarlett.
Okay. Now, coincidentally, Jan's next. So now Jan.
Right, up next, Jan.
Hi.
Tonight on the runway, your face looks beautiful.
Thank you.
Your hair is adorable. Now the dress itself, I think it would have looked stronger if there were no chaps and just a little knee sock. Yes, it's a pattern. It's clash of the pattern. But it also needs to look and make sense. And this isn't really looking right.
Okay.
Here's the thing with you as a performer. You are so excited to be there. But it means you're always at 110%, 100% of the time. And I think you become much more interesting as an entertainer when you have different paces, different emotions, different energies.
That's the same critique that he gave Scarlett.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So then at least Scarlett got the plus on the outfit.
But she got she got a plus on the hair and the makeup, too.
I'm very talkative.
But not in the outfit.
And it's frustrating because I'm trying to find that balance.
And she sounds so fake here.
When to talk, when to be high energy.
You know? But I do talk like this. This is my real voice. Okay. Back on the main stage, RuPaul calls forth the lip-sync assassin. The screen rises to reveal Season 6 winner Bianca Del Rio, who walks out, makes some shady remarks, and then leaves. Next, a real lip-sync assassin walks out. It's Mayhem Miller. Moving forward, RuPaul summons the girls to the front of the stage and starts the lip-sync battle for their legacy. The song, Phone, by Lizzo. In the end, Ginger Minj walked away with the $30,000 tip and the right to send one of the girls home. After some build-up, Ginger pulled the lipstick from her bra and revealed that she had chosen Scarlet Envy. With that, Scarlet left the stage and joined the game. Within the game, ladies, any final thoughts on the episode? Lori, let's start with you.
Yeah, I just, I thought it was weird. Ginger, I feel like, is being kind of weird with the voting. And again, she was weird again where she was like, this is the only thing I could do where I felt like I could sleep peacefully at night. And it was like, what? What? Like, what is that supposed? Like, you're just voting somebody off. They're not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just seems such a weird thing to say. And I feel like she's been doing that a lot this season where she kind of makes it seem like she doesn't really have a choice. And it's like, you're making these decisions. You're voting for these people.
Mm-hmm.
You voted Jiggly off. Nobody, yeah. You know, like.
That's right.
I just think it's such a, she's making weird choices with her voting. That's all. Or like, not weird choices, but like, she's justifying it in a weird way.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about you, Solandra? Any final thoughts on the episode?
I've actually said all my thoughts, surprisingly. But once again, have to reiterate, the Minge killed that lip sync.
What did you think on Bianca Del Rio's fake lip sync joke thing?
I didn't really get the point of it, but because I like Bianca, I was fine with it. But I was shocked to see Bianca at first because I was like, lip sync assassin. We never even saw her lip sync literally ever.
No. You know, RuPaul was wearing the same outfit they used for the promos for All-Star 6. So I wonder if Bianca was there to film something else. And they go, oh, this would be a gag if you came on and did this thing. Because why would you go all the way to Sylmar, get in fucking drag for a 10-second bit? You know,
plus she lives in Palm Springs.
Yeah,
so it's even.
It just to me, it cracked me up because I just imagine them trying to get her on the show, and they're like, "Will you come on the show and be a lip sync assassin?" No. Okay, will you come on the show and pretend to be a lip sync assassin, and you don't have to actually lip sync, and you can just make fun of the queens and then walk off stage? Like that's so, like they're just so. They're like, please. Please, please come back, please.
Lori, any final thoughts on the lip sync?
Thank you for re-asking me. I loved the lip sync. I thought it was great. I thought Mayhem did a great job.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Ginger stole the show because I think one of the things I like about Ginger Minge, especially myself being a bigger person, is that I feel like a lot of times the lip syncs can get a little dancy where people are sort of doing like a lot of fanciful stuff. Even though Ginger Minj, I felt like did bust out some moves. I felt like she sort of shows that you can be a great lip syncer and not have, you know, the big dance moves. You can still be physical and not have to do like a death drop or something.
All right, very good. We're going to have to leave it at that. That's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 6. So for Adam Solandra, Lori Roggenkamp, and myself,
sashay away.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. You can also leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Lori has another podcast. It's called Bloody Podcast, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Lori Roggenkamp on Instagram at Lori You Liar. You can follow Adam Solandra on Instagram at Adam Solandra. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen. Very special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters. Emma, Declan Prosser, E. Smith, Ricardo Herrera, April Pacheco, Lionel Campbell, Poppy Woods, Lauren Eckert, Sarah Yu, Agnesa Shopinska, Travis Newland, Jimmy Kielbasa, Nutella, Jesse Harris, Coco San Pedro, Spiral Queen, Zach Nelson, Brad Coley, Drew Brooks, Tom Bombs, Lucy Carrasco, Astute Girl, Humble Pie, Troy Anderson, Nicholas Alexander Springham, Poppy Woods. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.